So my name is Lawrence Hill. I'm the curator at Phoenix Art Space, and I'm joined today by Annie Kevins. And we are just going to have a little conversation about her exhibition, Reframing History, that's at Phoenix Art Space at the moment. And I should say that we're recording this on Zoom. I'm in a workspace which is empty, but there are classes going on either side of me, so there may be some noise. I think Annie just explained to me that there's somebody hammering outside her window. So you might hear that as well. But this is just to say, if you're in the room with us, these are the noise you'd be hearing anyway. So, first of all, I'd like Annie for you to introduce yourself.
My name's Annie Kevins. It's Evans with a K. I've been a painter really since I graduated from art school in 2004. And I was very happy when Phoenix Gallery contacted me to have an exhibition of four series, which was very exciting because I've never done that before. And it's my first show in a public space, which was really exciting. So it's a non-selling commercial show, which I've only up to this point had done commercial sort of selling exhibitions.
How do those two things feel different to you, if they
Very
do?
different, really different. It's difficult to explain, really. I mean, when you do these exhibitions in commercial spaces, you've always got this stress and kind of the thinking of selling, making money, keeping the gallery happy, because obviously if they if they're not going to sell any work, they're not gonna maybe give you another show. So there's all these kind of things that are very absent when you do an exhibition in a space like Phoenix.
So you were saying that you work in series. So can you talk a little bit about that? Kind of what inspires those series, or where do they come from, essentially?
Well, it's interesting because I never sort of planned out to do work in series, but it kind of just happened like that. So my first series I did was for my degree show at St. Martin's in 2004, and I had started off painting on canvas, quite traditional looking paintings of evil people as children. So I use the word evil in inverted commas, but people that we in the West recognize as kind of evil people. And it was really about the concept of when do we become evil? Are we, there's that in between phase of teenagers. So at the beginning, I was actually doing a photographic project and I was looking at teenagers and thinking, yeah, when do they go from being, say, a victim of, let's say, abuse, and then maybe a very small percentage of those might become abusers themselves. And it was about that kind of concept of evil. My thesis was on images of children in art, and at the time we had the Chapman brothers doing the very sexualized mannequin type work with anyway, so it was all kind of I had all these ideas. And then I decided, actually, with the help of one of my teachers, Pam Skelton, she suggested that I kind of narrow it down. So instead of doing people generally evil, just to pick one type of person in a way. So I picked Hitler because I knew everybody kind of knows who Hitler is. And that was my first series, was sort of political leaders of the 20th century who were kind of considered, bad, evil. And I did them as little boys. And the series then became boys. I didn't know how many I would do. Which every time I do a series, it's like that. I don't know who's going to be in it. I don't know how many people there'll be in it. It's very kind of dictated by the research. So when I did a series on the president's mistresses, US presidential mistresses, for an art fair in New York, I actually thought there was only a handful. I thought it might just be Marilyn Monroe, Monica Lewinsky, and I was thinking it'd be just a few paintings. And then I couldn't believe I found out that every single US president had had mistress, inverted commas, because some of them were actually slaves, which you can't call them mistresses. But basically, they'd had extramarital relationships of one kind or another, I think, except for one president. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a massive series, because what happens is the public contacts me and go, you didn't do this one, you didn't do that one. And so I end up like, I hate leaving. I'm a bit like you know, with stamp collectors, and they've missed one, and they're like, oh, I have to do that one.
Have to finish it.
You know, yeah. So each series is different. Some are just mini series, some are, you know, it like I said, it really depends on what I find when I do the research.
Yeah, so talking about that research, and obviously when we met, when I came to your studio and we were having a conversation about the exhibition and talking through some of your work, and you were talking about the research that you'd done behind it. And I was curious, as someone who feels like quite a research-based curator, I was curious as whether you felt that that research was an integral part of your practice, or is it an activity that you do in order to carry out your practice, if that makes sense.
I think it's at the beginning, I think it started off as a way to. So, going back to the boys series, I was trying to get genuine images of, you know, say Franco and Mussolini, you know, when they were children. And there was a lot less on the internet than there is now. So, I was having to go to these libraries. So, I was going to the SOAS Library in London. So the School of Oriental African Studies Library, and just spending ages and ages and ages trying to look through all the books and trying to find an image. And it was all just a bit of a nightmare. And it's become easier over the years as there's more online. But I think now, yes, every series I do, I actually spend more time doing the research than I do during the painting. So now it has kind of tipped, you know what I mean? It has kind of tipped. And also I go down these kind of rabbit holes, which then lead to another series. So I've had that, for example, with the President's Mistresses that then went, then I discovered about, you know, Sally Hemings, Jefferson Slave, who was also his sister-in-law. It was all like really weird. And I kind of became very fascinated by that. So, and that led to my a show in New York called Manumission, which was all about people kind of acknowledging that they had had children with their slaves because they manumitted or freed them in their wills. So basically, yes, I think the research is just as important now as the work. Another thing I found the other day, which I'd completely forgotten to tell you about. So I found all these letters that what I did with the President's Mistresses series is I had some artist friends recreate some love letters between the presidents and the women. And my artist friends just kind of really ran with it. And like one of them, Tessa Farmer, who's a great artist, she actually ended up aging the paper, you know. And then we all got involved in the research, and that was really nice. And often I also get emails from people who sometimes that I've painted, and they actually contact me. And yeah, so I end up with all this documentation because I have emails from the people I've painted. I have you know, letters recreated. I have all sorts of, you know, kind of paperwork, you know, which kind of
That's really
nice.
interesting. One of the things that I find really intriguing about your work is this kind of sense that the portraits are imagined. So
Yes.
there are some people, I know, for example, you did a portrait of Kate Moss, which we don't have in the show, but there are obviously hundreds of thousands of images of Kate Moss in the world. But some of the more historical figures that you're doing portraits of, there are no images of them. So in a sense, you're kind of conjuring that person.
Yes.
And as I understand it, also where there are lots of images of people, like with the Coco Chanel portrait, for example, which we do have,
Yeah.
that you are not working from a single image. So
Yes. Yes.
talk me through that process a little bit.
Yeah, so I think originally I was working from a single image, and then I started working more from several images. So for example, the History of Art series, I was working from self-portraits, and portraits done by other artists, you know, of the women, the artists from, you know, so the 1700s or something. And then I realized actually looking at them, I was like, well, these, you know, these portraits, like let's say Angelica Kauffman, there are several paintings of her. She did self-portraits, other people painted her. And honestly, she doesn't really look like the same person in in any of these paintings. So it's difficult to just pick one and go, okay, I think she looked like that. So
Right,
yeah,
yeah.
so that, for example, I would use several portraits.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny because then, and I was also let's say kings as well. So I did a painting of a French king in drag because he actually used to dress up a lot and go to parties dressed as a shepherdess. So again, I would look at several paintings of him, and again, they were all very different because some of them were done when they were older, some when they were younger,
Of
different
course, yeah.
painters, you know. So it started like that, and then but also things like I did one of Lady Gaga, where and that was for a commission for Annabelle's club in London, and I used one of the hats that she'd worn, which had like birds' feathers on it. But I also really liked her tattoo, so you know what I mean. So I'm kind of operating a bit like a photographer because
Yeah.
I know photographers do this. I used to share a studio with a photographer who used to who told me that other photographers will with Kate Moss will use an image of say her leg from one photo and then they will use and they put it
So it's
together in
like a
Photoshop.
composite,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's like a composite. So yeah, so it was funny when I discovered that. I was like, oh, that's what I do that. So yeah, so I with Lady Gaga, I had the image actually doesn't exist. The photograph, there's no photograph of her
Yeah.
like that with that hat, with her shoulder showing, with her tattoos. You know, I've created
Yeah.
a new image.
So you're kind of filtering all of the images
Yeah, and then of
through.
course there's the ones who are really historical where there's zero images of them, and then I look at descriptions. So yeah, with the president's mistresses, I would look at descriptions. You know, I'd have to read up. She was blonde, she had blue eyes, or she
Yeah.
had red hair, you know. So yes, and it's interesting how the very first series I did again at art school with the boys, most of those are imagined because I couldn't find any images of Milosevic as a
Yeah.
boy or
Yeah.
you know. So and I think so over 20 of those 30 are imagined. And it was interesting how we used to have these things, you know, in college where people would come and critique, and you'd have a whole group of people from, say, the sculpture, the 4D pathways. They would all come in and critique. And it was interesting how some people got really upset when they found out that they were not from real photos, you
Really
know.
interesting.
Yes. And there were people who got angry and upset. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I had all those reactions really at art school. And then I kind of decided that no, I really did want to do that series. And I didn't want to be stopped by the fact that it wasn't, inverted commas, real, you know, because I thought the whole point is not about how a dictator looked when he was young. It's really about the concept of, oh, look, when they were little boys and they had no power and they were just sweet and loved, you know. And so I just thought, I'm not going to stop doing what I want to do.
Can't let your idea be stifled
Yeah,
by the kind
because
of
I just can't
reality of
find
that.
the right image, you know. So I decided then, and then I carried on with that.
I think
And
people have.
I think it makes it more creative as well,
No, agreed.
you
And I
know.
think people have really responded to that. I mean, I've done a few kind of exhibition tours with people, and when I talk about that, they find that really fascinating.
Yeah.
And in fact, nobody's got angry, so that's
Oh,
so
good.
that's good. Also, as you know, in the rear gallery here, we set up an activity where we provide paper and oil crayons for people to do imagine portraits, and
Yeah.
then people responded so positively to
I
that.
love those. When I saw that room, I was so happy.
It's quite freeing, I think,
Yeah.
and obviously
Yeah.
at different levels of skill, but it's been
Yeah.
really fascinating. So I'm not sure what
Yes.
we're going to do with those at the end. We're going to have to at least do something with them. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about was a bit about, leading on from that, the kind of audience response to the exhibition, which has been, I mean, overwhelmingly positive, quite emotional.
Oh,
Some
yeah.
people, some one person said that as a discarded child, that they responded really strongly to the president's children
Yeah,
series,
yeah.
and people have described it as very haunting, and there's a sort of like that there's a kind of sadness in it that's kind of imbued into the work. Is that something that you think about when you're making them?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you can't help it. You know, you're obviously going to project onto, what you're painting. And again, when I did the boys, I tried not to make them evil. You know what I mean? Because you're painting Hitler, and I'm trying to make him look like a normal person, like a boy. But yes, I think you can't help it, can you? You get you you ha you know the story, and often, I mean, when I'm looking at photos of the people, you can actually see that, say, the sadness in their eyes anyway from a photo, can't you? You know, you can see it. So yeah, often you get that anyway. And then yes, other times obviously I must be projecting. Yeah, I must be.
I mean, that just feels like a very human response, doesn't
Yes, I don't see how you couldn't. I don't know
it?
how
I
you couldn't do it.
remember years ago, I lived in France for a while, and in Rouen Cathedral, there's a photograph of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, and she has like the most extraordinary eyes, like incredibly soulful. And I mean, I'm not a religious person, but like I felt like I was seeing in her eyes this kind of saintliness or kind of divinity. I mean, I'm entirely sure I was projecting that. Like if someone had said this is a picture of a random French
The baker. Yeah, you would know.
baker, I probably wouldn't feel that.
Yeah,
And so it
I
is
know.
interesting what you're saying about
Yes.
him. At the beginning, you were talking about showing primarily in commercial galleries before, and this being
Yes.
your first show in a public gallery.
Yeah.
So, and I think the first time that you've shown different series together. So I wonder how you responded to that, what that felt like, because I guess, I mean, outside of the studio, the first time that they're sort of in dialogue with each other.
Yeah. It was really interesting because quite a few of them I hadn't actually seen for 10 years, because they'd been with a gallery in New York. And so it was nice kind of seeing them again, that sounds a bit cliche, but like old friends, you're seeing them again. You're like, oh, I haven't seen you for ages. So, and then, but then, yes, when you put them up, well, I mean, for a start, I don't think I'd ever seen so many altogether. I mean, in the Saatchi Gallery, the boys were shown because Charles Saatchi bought them, and there were 30 going around a huge room, and I'd seen them like that, but that was all one theme, that was all one series. So yeah, it was very interesting seeing. So there was something very interesting that a teacher told us at art school. She said, "You won't know what your work is about until you can look back on it. Until you've worked for about at least 10 years, and then look back, and then you'll know what your work is about." You know, she said, "Don't try and have an idea. I want to be an artist like this, and then do that." She said, "Just do what you feel, what is happening, whatever at the time, and then when you look back, you will know what your work's about." So yeah, so I had that kind of feeling of like, "Oh, that's what my work's about," and it was funny how obviously you'd picked out the history aspect, so that was interesting to me because I have always been fascinated by history. But I didn't set out, when I was, in my 20s, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to do work about history. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, so it's interesting how, yeah, looking back, I'm like, wow, I really have been kind of very interested. And also in patterns through history and history repeating itself. So, you can look at one kind of theme. And sadly, like the history of art, where you can see how women have been under kind of represented and under valued, for hundreds of years. It's not a recent thing, and in fact, people like Kate Bryan, who's a really interesting curator and director of art at Soho House, she said, she did a talk once, and she actually said that those the women had a better careers in the 1800s than we do now, because at that time, for example, the value of our work was the same as the men's value. In fact, some women were earning more than men, artists. Whereas now we have a massive discrepancy between the highest earning male artists, living artists, and the highest earning female living artists. So so basically, I am kind of looking at history repeating, things not changing, also nothing's new.
I mean, when we talked a little bit about this when we met as well, but my kind of curatorial theme for this year is future histories, which is like how why I really responded to those, quote unquote, history paintings, portraits. And it is, future histories in my mind is, an aspect of it is how the past kind of continues to impact the present. And with that history of art series, with that, the women artists who have been, devalued for, in some cases, centuries, and then they get rediscovered, but often only kind of in the context of women's art or feminist art. So they get rediscovered in that context and kind of put into that silo. But then the impact on the kind of mainstream is very limited, and what continues to be shown in galleries is 90% men, and in museums
Always.
and
I mean,
collections.
every impressionist show I've ever seen, and I've seen many in my life, every impressionist exhibition I've seen, there's never been any of the women impressionists in it. So most people just presume there weren't any. And that's very frustrating. And that seems to never really change. And also you can pick up any kind of book of let's say you've got painting books on, whatever, art now, painting now or whatever, and it'll be like a really thick book with hardly any women in it, just like a very, very small percentage. And then you'll have the other books, women artists, and it's like, why is this constant separation? It's
Totally.
so frustrating.
So that is, I mean, and with all the series that we're showing, you can think about what was happening then and totally map it onto what's happening now. And I think that's a really interesting thing for people, for audiences to discover as well. So, is there anything that you feel like you want to say that I haven't asked you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could talk forever, but no, I can't think of
This has been really great then. So I am going to stop the recording right now. So thank you to Annie and for your time.